Electrical conductivity data is related to several soil properties, and because of that has become popular in precision farming recently. There are theoretical reasons that exist to make those relationships between the properties and ECA, but it's difficult to use those patterns across all fields. And there are some professionals in the field that have drawn conclusions and made relationships that don't have real theoretical basis. So most ECA research has involved establishing relationships with soil properties or uses ECA as a covariate for cold kriging or regression kriging, but that might not be the best use of it. There are sound relationships developed between high-frequency devices like a time domain reflectometer that can be used to inform the interpretation of lower frequency ECA data. So the model that we were testing for this research is a three-part model, and it's written as the following. If the first condition isn't met, try the second, and that will be true. If it isn't true, then try the third, and that one should be true. So the three conditions are if the soil is hyperelectrolytic or the ECA to clay ratio is greater than about 5, the ECA data is measuring salinity. The second is if the profile thickness is thinner than the effective depth of measurement of the instrument and the ECA data is decreasing with depth, ECA is measuring soil depth. The third is if there's no compaction and it's hard to see the screen from here. The electrolyte concentrations in balance with the soil charge, ECA measurements show variation in clay and moisture content. So again, we're testing this model, and we picked some sites that were likely to meet the conditions of the model, and we wanted to determine if this actually is useful in soil survey. So we took 5 sites in England and 1 in Utah, with different parent materials, and those were lower green sand at one field at the Shuttleworth site, flint and quartzite pebble, gravel at the Wallingford site, and then 3 fields were at the Yattendon Estate, and those were chalk fields. In Spanish Fork, the Utah site, the soils are saline, and they're close to Utah Lake, which is a freshwater lake, but it's quite salty still. So we had 15 to 30 meter grids, depending on the size of the field, and took 6 cores from within 1 meter squared of each sampling site to get an average of that particular location. And these field and lab methods are pretty standard. This is what we use to test the soil, just to let you know we did things right. It's in here. We used the Geonix EM38 in the vertical position to gather our data, and connected to that was a GPS receiver, which was recording the UTM coordinates of where we're taking the data, and also was a data logger, which was recording both the location and the ECA data. The EM38 is, in the literature, it's saying that 30 to 50 centimeters, the top 30 to 50 centimeters of the soil is where most data is collected, but it does reach up to 1.5 meters in depth. So that's where the data is coming from. And we walked or drove the fields in 20 meter transects, so our rows are 20 meters apart, and the data was collected every 2 seconds. In addition to collecting ECA data, we collect resistivity, and the reason for that was resistivity is the reciprocal of ECA. So for condition 2, where we're measuring depth, if resistivity is decreasing with depth, ECA is increasing, which would then not meet condition 2. So we took the resistivity of several fields, and I'll talk more about that as we get into the results. Because we took the ECA data in 20 meter transects, some of our sites were 15 meters apart or 30 meters apart. So we took an average within 15 to 30 meters of each sampling point to assign a value to that specific location. And with those assigned values at the sampling point, we did a moving correlation to determine if it was correlated to other points within that specific area in the field. Our correlations of 0.381 are significant and 0.45 are moderate, so at the 0.05 p-value, so you can keep that in mind as we go through the results. We also assigned binary values to if the correlation was moderate, we assigned it a 1. If it wasn't, it was a 0. And we assigned binary values to each of the conditions as well. If the condition was met, it was given a 1. If it wasn't, a 0. Now for the results. This is a chart of the proportion of sampling points that met the condition. So you can see in Spanish Fork, 100% of the sites met condition 1. All the locations, all the sampling points were hyperelectrolytic. 94% met condition 3 at the Shuttleworth site, and The Yattendon 2 and 5 field had 98% that met condition 2. We did separately 30 centimeters and 50 centimeters because of the, that's where most of the data again is coming from, using the EM38. I want you to look at the Y215 field and notice that between 50 centimeter depth and the third condition of no compaction, that equals greater than 100%. So the way the model's written, if the second condition is true, we wouldn't even test the third if we were doing this practically. Because it's research, we did test both, and so we have some inconsistency. If we hadn't measured the third, we would assume that all of those 98% of the points on the field were just meeting condition 2, so that ECA was just measuring depth. So there's an inconsistency there where it may be measuring depth, but it also may be measuring soil moisture or clay content in the field, and we're not sure because it could meet both. In this chart, it's comparing each of the fields and looking at different soil properties in each field. Let's take a look again at the Spanish Fork field. The 0.46 correlation in that, in the brackets there, is with outliers included. So we have a moderate correlation there between salinity and ECA data there. If we remove those outliers, there are three of those, we end up with a 0.26 correlation. So we can see there that salinity, the conditions were met, but ECA isn't measuring salinity at a great correlation. I want you to notice also that the first column, the P column, is the proportion of sampling points that had a moderate correlation in that field. The second column is a correlation coefficient for the entire field, so all of our sampling points included. And the third is our maximum correlation coefficient for we had for any one point in the field. And I've circled a couple others there. You can take a look that the outliers did have a big impact on some, which means that we have a great variance in whether the field or whether the conditions correlated. Sorry, whether the soil properties correlated to that particular at that particular point with ECA or whether it isn't. And there's inconsistency here as well in our data with the model. Now looking specifically at Spanish Fork, we would expect that the ECA data would correlate to or have a similar pattern to the ECE data, which we got from the lab when we were testing each sample. And we don't see that great of a pattern except in the northern part of the field. And you can see that here is where we're looking in the northern part. Also, our elevation was, there was a depression in the field, which you need to remember for our next slide when we look at the clay content of the field. So here we do see that there is some clay content in the middle of the field, in the depression of the field, which we would expect in Spanish Fork. For Wallingford, this slide's looking at condition 2, and we can see that the condition 2 was not met. Again, condition 2 is measuring depth. And we can see it's not met by looking at the resistivity, which is decreasing with the depth. And we know the inverse of that would be ECA is increasing. The model says it needs to be decreasing if the soil is thinner than the lower layer. So we know that it's not met. And we can also tell that by looking at the, well, we see that the correlation between ECA and depth is quite low. Blue is at the low end of the scale, so most of the field there's no correlation or very little correlation between depth and ECA, which gives us another evidence that condition 2 isn't met here. Next, we'll look at condition 3. For the same field, condition 3 was that if there's no compaction in the field, the ECA is measuring depth and water content of the field. And we can see that there's low probability of compaction in the field, which would meet the first part of the condition. The second, we'll take a look at the correlation between water content on the right side of the screen and clay content. Only in the western part of the field was there a high probability of correlation between those two. So we can conclude that condition 3 wasn't met in this field. And here I wanted to point out the pattern, a similar pattern between ECA, clay, water content, and stones. Stones wasn't a part of any of the conditions, and yet there was still a similar pattern here. Looking at the Yattendon 2 and 4 field, we're looking here again at condition 2, the depth condition, and we see that resistivity is increasing, which would mean ECA is decreasing. So that part of the condition is met, and we can also see that there's a high probability of correlation between ECA and depth by looking at the right-hand map there in the northern part of the field, but not in the southern. So condition 2 of the model is met in the northern and eastern part of this field. Here we're looking at condition 3. So the probability of compaction is quite high in the southwestern part of the field. And the correlation between ECA and water content and ECA in clay aren't similar patterns. So we're looking at this condition isn't met here. Also, I wanted to point out the similar pattern between the probability of compaction and sand here. And sand also isn't a part of any condition, yet there's a similar pattern that might be relevant. Here I wanted to look at the similar pattern between depth and ECA, which would be the second condition. There is a little bit of a similar pattern here in the middle of the field here. And in addition, the stones pattern here, there's some similar high probabilities of having stones and a correlation between that and ECA in this section. So from all this data, we concluded that at the Spanish Fork site, every site was hyperelectrolytic. Every sampling point was hyperelectrolytic. But in the other fields, different parts of the field met different conditions. And it was inconsistent whether one condition met every, was applied in each part of the field. But in some parts of the field or in other fields that I didn't present here, none of the conditions applied. So we can see that the model isn't really of practical use, especially if we are trying to work within a budget. It's hard to go out and sample all these points within a budget, and it's not really practical time-wise as well. But the model does have some good insight and can provide some good insight for us and farmers trying to be precise in their agriculture, but there are some gaps as well. Some of those gaps are that we need to find out what ECA is measuring if none of the conditions met. We looked at similar patterns in sand and stones, and there were some similar patterns, but again, that was inconsistent as well. So we want to know what exactly is being measured when none of the conditions are met. Also, that the hyperelectrolytic soil is not necessarily conditioned for ECA measuring salinity. I didn't mention earlier that in Spanish Fork, that field, it is next to Utah Lake, which is a freshwater lake, but it's quite salty. And because of that, the groundwater level, the table is quite high. So that might have been making a difference and giving us inconsistent results in that field as well, even though the condition there was met. Also, how does a scientist or a farmer test that the electrolytes in balance with the soil charge? That is part of the third condition. And there may be more practical methods for using this model, and that could be just identifying different zones in the field and then taking a few samples and applying that locally to an area of the field that's low, medium, or high conductivity. But overall, it's the time and budget restraints that make this model not as practical as we'd hope. These are just some acknowledgments, and thank you very much.